Hello and welcome to part number 14 of our series of instructional videos for basic policy debate. My name is Alfred C. Snyder. I'm the Edwin W. Lawrence Professor of Forensics here at the University of Vermont. And today I'm going to be talking to you about public speaking and delivery skills as they relate to debate and as they relate to your experience in everyday life. The power and the ability to speak in public will benefit you throughout your life. People are mostly afraid to speak in public, and if they know that you can do it and do it with some skill, they will turn to you as a leader, as someone to speak for them, and as someone that they can depend on. Now, as we know, debate is mostly content-based. It's all about your arguments. But delivery is extremely important, as well as the content. Now, if you have an argument, if it's well delivered, well presented, well enunciated, that will make it much stronger. If you have a weak argument that stinks, good delivery may not help it, but at least it will be enjoyable to listen to. The kind of guidelines that we talk about in learning to speak in a debate round are a little different from those that we would talk about in terms of giving a speech to the general public, to the PTA, to your church or a community group, or even in a classroom. But even though the nature of the way you speak is a little bit different, the principles that you use when speaking in debate are basically the same. If you learn to speak effectively in the context of a debate round, you will also learn how to speak effectively in many different public situations throughout your life. One of the most important things about your speaking is that you need to be dynamic. You need to be characterized by energy, enthusiasm, sincerity, and commitment. Your audience, your judges, the people who listen to you, will make inferences based on how dynamic you are. When they see that you're excited, that you're energetic, that you're forceful, that you're really into what you're talking about, they will tend to believe you. But even if you are committed, and even if you are making a lot of sense, if you're boring and monotonic and not very exciting, you're not going to get very much progress made. So think about being dynamic. Think about the people you enjoy hearing speak. And I just want to mention a few people who I think are tremendous public speakers. I think that Martin Luther King was an amazing public speaker because he really believed what he said. He felt it strongly, but not only that, he communicated that to other people as well. Kwesi Mfumi, who is the head of the NAACP, is a fabulous public speaker because you know he means business, and he speaks clearly, and he makes sure that you know that his message means something. I would like to say that the Reverend Jerry Falwell is also a very good public speaker. He's very smooth. He's very sincere. He's very animated. The thing that you notice about these people is that they're controversial, because people who can communicate effectively make a difference. Let's talk about some of the general principles, general things that you want to keep in mind when you're trying to decide about how you can become a better public speaker. And I want to make three specific points about public speaking. First, you have to engage in variation. You have to change. You can't do the same thing all the time. Everything about the way you speak needs to be varied. You can't speak in the same volume all the time. You can't speak at the same pace all the time. You can't make the same hand gesture all the time. You need to have variation. If you do the same thing all the time, it doesn't matter what it is, you will become boring. And that's one thing you don't want to be. That's not dynamic. That's boring. Don't do the same thing over and over again. Change up what you do. Vary your speech patterns and your delivery, and you'll be a lot better off. General guideline number two. I want to talk about emphasis. I want to talk about emphasis. And this goes together really well with variation. Because when you change things, when you're not doing the same thing all the time, some things you'll do with more force and more impact and more meaning than others. These are the things that you want to use emphasis with. You want certain things to stand out, certain ideas, certain words, certain arguments, certain concepts. These kinds of things you need to emphasize. So when you vary your speech, you do it in such a way that you emphasize those things that you think are important. The third general guideline that I want to talk to you about is naturalness. Naturalness. You need to be yourself. Don't be somebody else. Be who you are. If you want to change who you are, that's fine. We engage in a lifelong process of becoming, of improving ourselves, of improving our skills. But don't try to do it all in one speech. If people think that you are acting fake, they are not going to believe you. They want you to seem sincere. So don't be afraid to be yourself. And don't worry, you won't disappoint. Because I bet that who you are is good enough for just about anybody. Don't be afraid to show them who you are, because you have a lot to offer. So, when you give a speech, vary your delivery. Emphasize those things that are important. And remember, stay natural. Don't get all freaked out, or act really weird, or speak in a way that people wouldn't think fit the situation you're in. All right, with those three general guidelines, let's look at the kinds of things that make up your speech delivery, and how you can apply these guidelines to that. Let's start by talking about your voice. Now, that's going to be your most important delivery mechanism. You shape your message. One of the things you want to be aware of is the need to open your mouth. When you're giving a speech in public, you need to generally articulate, speak a little bit louder, and project a bit more than you do in conversation. In a conversation, you're just kind of talking to somebody who's there with you, and hey, what's up? What about, and so you don't need to project as much, but when you're speaking to a whole room, then you need to speak louder. Open your mouth. Articulate the words a bit more clearly. And then, of course, you have to regulate the volume of your voice. You'll want to speak louder if you're in a bigger room, or if it's a noisy room, or if it's hard for you to hear, hard for people to hear you. You'll want to speak softer if there's an echo in the room, or if we're all fairly close together. You don't want to yell too loud. People will be upset. On the other hand, you do want to have some volume in your speech. And of course, you would use volume to emphasize some points that you're making. You would say, for example, that this is the most important point. And you would say that with a bit more volume. So everybody becomes, it becomes clear to them that what you're, this is an important thing you're saying because you're raising your voice. Now that doesn't mean you can only emphasize things by raising your voice. There are other ways to emphasize things by actually lowering your voice. You could say something like this. And after they reached the end of their journey, they knew that there was no turning back. That's an example of where you can actually reduce your voice volume a little bit to emphasize something. However, if you do that, make sure to pause before you go in to the lower voice tone. Use the volume of your voice. Don't be unnatural. Change the volume of your voice. Use it to emphasize important things. Then there is the quality of your voice, the quality of your voice. And you can think of this as the pitch, for example. Usually, when people speak in a higher pitch, it means they're more excited. If you want to get across to people that you're excited about something, then you can raise your pitch a little. People generally lower their tone of voice when they're being extremely serious, and they say, Jim, this is something you must never do again. And that's an example of lowering the pitch of your voice to make something seem more serious. So raise your pitch to indicate excitement, lower your pitch to indicate that something is really serious. But again, make sure, change the pitch of your voice. Don't always speak at the same pitch because it will seem really weird. And also, don't make your pitch so variable that it seems unnatural. Let's talk about the speed at which you speak, the speed at which you use your voice. Now, generally in debate, we talk pretty quickly. That's not a surprise. It's a timed, competitive activity, like basketball. So you might try to hustle and score as many baskets as you can. Likewise, in debate, you try to hustle and make as many good arguments as you can. You want to regulate your speed, however. You don't always want to talk really slowly, and you don't always want to talk really quickly. You want to speak at a speed that's appropriate. If you want to emphasize something, you probably need to say it a bit slower. If there's a bunch of details or some background information which aren't quite as important, which you're not sure the judge is going to remember anyway, they'll remember you said it, but they might not necessarily remember exactly what you said, then you might want to speed up a bit. At all times, however, when you're speaking quickly, you want to remain clear. If they don't understand you, it doesn't do any good. No self-respecting judge is going to vote for an argument or an idea that they didn't understand, because they won't be able to explain it after the debate. They won't be able to write a ballot about it in your favor. Make sure that you don't talk too quickly. Speed's not necessarily the issue here. It's clarity. Can people understand you? Are you clear? And that's where you need to make sure to open your mouth wide, articulate, and project. So, in terms of your voice, your volume, your quality, your speed, you want to have variation, emphasis, and naturalness. Here are some basic things that you might want to use your voice to emphasize in a debate round. You might want to emphasize the taglines of arguments, or the names of arguments. You might want to emphasize what we call the power words in your evidence. The power words. Words like billions, or always, or never. Or words that indicate really good things or really bad things. It's a disaster. It's a tragedy. It's an unprecedented benefit. Those are the kind of things that you want to emphasize, the power words. If there's an important distinction that you want to explain to the judge, no, our plan doesn't use that kind of curriculum. It uses a different kind of curriculum. Let me explain to you what it is. You want to make sure to emphasize those important distinctions. Also, some arguments are just plain important, and you want the judge to know that it's that kind of argument. When your argument is a turn, don't just say, turn, we solved that problem. Say, turn, we solved that problem. Because turns are so important in the debate, as I'm sure you know by watching the earlier tapes, that you're going to really want to point that out. As well, when you're arguing counterplans, the permutations are very important in defeating the counterplan or overcoming the permutations to win your counterplan. So don't just say, perm, we can do one and then the other. Say, perm or permutation. We do one followed by the other, so the judge will understand. Very important argument types that you need to make sure to emphasize. So that's your voice. And your voice is the main thing you'll use. Use it well, and it will serve you by giving you excellent results from your communicative efforts. Now let's talk about gestures. Basically, gestures are something you do with those parts of your body that are really visible to the audience. Let's start by talking about your hands. Now, most of the time, when we're just talking to someone in conversation, we'll use our hands. For some reason, all of a sudden, when the debate begins, when people are giving a public speech, people go from using their hands naturally to just leaving them glued at their sides or on the podium, and they don't use them. That's not good. People expect you to use your hands. Also, using your hands for gestures makes you a lot more dynamic. It makes you look enthusiastic, energetic, committed. Now, when you use these hand gestures, you probably have a gestural vocabulary of your own. You already have a way of using your hands when you talk. Feel free to use it. One of the things you want to watch out for is not varying your gestures. Sometimes debaters will just have a gesture and they'll keep using it. God bless my debate partner. He always went like this when he was talking. And, you know, he said really good stuff and I love him. But after a while, this got to be pretty funny. Once he noticed it and saw how ridiculous it was, he was able to stop it. Don't do the same thing. Also, don't do things that are distracting, like play with something in your pocket. People get keys, and they'll play with their keys. Or, you know, playing with your pen while you're talking and shaking it at people. Make sure there's nothing in your hands. Make sure your hands are for conveying a message. Sometimes when you speak, you're nervous. And one of the ways in which your body wants to get rid of this nervousness is by having you engage in some kind of physical activity. So you will do something with your hands, and sometimes when people are talking, they'll rub various parts of themselves. And I don't think you want to do that. That's distracting. Make your gestures part of your message. You probably have a gestural vocabulary. I have one. I reject things. I offer things to people. We rise up. We try to reject things we don't like. I will hold my fingers together like I'm holding a diamond or something when I'm explaining some fine distinction. When I'm making a really important point, I will gesture like this in a sort of chopping motion. So figure out what your gestural vocabulary is and go ahead and use it. Your face is another very expressive part of your total persona that you're expressing when you give a speech. And the thing about your face is that you don't want to let your facial expression send a different message than the one you're sending in your speech. Now, studies show that if people have to choose which signal to believe, what you say or the expression on your face, they'll believe the expression on your face. So watch out. You may be nervous and afraid in some of your early debates, but don't let your, it's okay to be nervous and afraid. It's natural. But don't let your face show that, right? Don't give them an expression of confidence, even if you're nervous and even if you're a bit concerned. You also want to make sure to look at the judge. You want to make sure to look at the judge. If you're not reading your flow sheet or reading a piece of evidence, you should be looking at the judge, because the judge can send you lots of important nonverbal signals that will help you win the debate. You need to know if the judge is going like this, because that means they probably don't understand. You need to know if the judge is going like this. That means they probably don't like what you're saying. If the judge is shaking their head no, then that means they don't like that argument. If the judge is shaking their head yes, that means they like it. If the judge is not writing anything down, that probably means that they're not sure where you are on the flow sheet. So you need to be looking at the judge. Use eye contact. Also, when you look at someone, they tend to believe you a bit more. Maybe you've heard that expression, look me straight in the eye and tell me that. Because people somehow believe that it's harder to lie when you're looking right into someone's eyes. Well, let's talk about how to use these particular factors, gestures, facial expressions, eye contact. Use gestures to emphasize. Emphasize important points. Accusations. The other team has never provided evidence that shows. When you plead to the judge, we must do something to improve the safety of our schools. To make the judge think something is really important, we risk graduating a generation of illiterates unless we adopt the affirmative plan. So you can use gestures for that, to make things seem important and to make yourself seem energetic, dynamic, committed, and sincere. One of the other parts of delivery is what you do with your body, what you do with your body. And I think that here what you want to do is avoid being distracted. Sometimes I advise people when making speeches not to just stand in one spot, but to move to a different place, to give a speech somewhere, and then to keep talking, and then go to another spot, perhaps to come close to the audience, to step right up to them and make your point. It makes you look more comfortable. It makes you look more dynamic, more sure of yourself, more confident, and that's the kind of impression you want to give. However, it's very important not to do some counterproductive things with your body. Like, remember we talked about nervousness, and people get nervous, and your body wants to get rid of that nervousness through some kind of motion. Sometimes people will be rocking back and forth during their speech, or rocking forward and back, and that's kind of a problem, because after a while, maybe your audience is going to get seasick, and you're going to look silly. So watch out for making distracting movements with your body. The other one that's interesting is in debate, you need to be near where your materials are. So if you step away from your materials and you're all over here giving a speech and you go, and my next piece of evidence is, let's see, where was I? So always stay reasonably close to where you're speaking from. One last thing I want to talk about that I think is very important is location. Where do you speak from in the room? Generally, your debates take place in a classroom. And in the classroom, there's generally a bunch of little desks and one table, the teacher's table. You want to try to get to the classroom first and capture the table, because it's much easier to work at the table and to have your information there. If there is a podium or some kind of lectern to speak from in the room, you might want to use that. If there's no place to speak conveniently from where you can put your flow sheet and your briefs and your evidence and then be able to speak at the same time, you probably need to build one. I often urge debaters to use one of their evidence tubs or evidence carriers to build a little platform that then they can speak from. Some people think it's really cool to give their debate speech or to be involved in cross-examination while sitting down. And I think you may believe you're cool, but you aren't cool. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is that when you stand up, you have a larger, more prominent physical presence. It makes you look bigger, it makes you look more dynamic, it makes it easier for people to see your face and to see your physical gestures. Also, it's much easier to breathe when you're standing up. You're much more able to breathe through your stomach and with your stomach muscles as opposed to just through your chest muscles when you're standing up. Always speak standing up. Always build somewhere to speak from. Always speak from a convenient point in the room. Maybe you want to make sure that you're close enough to the judge for the judge to be able to hear you, and you want to be able to see how the judge is reacting. You don't necessarily want to be set up right next to the opposing team or right next to them, because it's nice to be able to whisper to your partner, for the other team to whisper to their partner and talk about what's going on without you being right on top of them. So remember, set up a good location in the room and then speak from there. Well, those are the major points that I want to get across in this particular lesson, number 14. But I want to relate some specific debate items to this as well, as I finish. Specific debate concepts. We know that debate often takes place very quickly. And I want to explain to you why I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. Generally, most people in America are cognitively or mentally a little slow. Not because they can't be smart, not because they can't think fast, but because they don't necessarily use their minds. And, you know, your mind is like anything else that's a part of your body. You have to train it and you have to develop it in order for it to be effective. And one of the reasons that we believe that quicker communication is good in debate is because you have to think and talk at the same time. And when you talk faster and when you learn to listen at a more rapid speed, you also begin thinking faster. You basically kick yourself in the behind in terms of your brain and get yourself going. But remember, don't ever let speed win out over clarity. They have to understand what you're saying. Just because you may learn to speak quickly in debate does not mean that you should speak quickly all the time whenever you give a speech. If you give a speech in front of an audience or your school or your church group, make sure to adapt for them. They're not flowing it and they're not trained in debate. And so you really want to make sure that you adapt because they don't expect you to speak so quickly. But the fast-paced communication and thinking of debate is what helps develop you into a powerful critical thinker and an excellent advocate for the future. Think about word economy. If you want to be efficient and make more arguments in a short period of time, think about how to express yourself directly, simply, and completely without using a bunch of extra words. Think about your breathing techniques. If that's a problem for you, if you're not able to get enough breaths, try to work on your breathing. Hey, run a few laps. That'll develop your breathing as well. And you can practice your speaking. In the curriculum packet that all the Urban Debate League coaches have received, and which we have now available on the internet, there are a number of speaking drills that you can engage in. These drills will help make you faster, clearer, and will help you learn how to emphasize your power words and really get your message across to the audience, and of course in debate, to the judge. It's a skill. It's something you have to practice. You will get better and better as time goes on. One of the reasons I think that public speaking skills are so important is that there are so few people today who are able to do it. If you are able to deliver an effective speech, it will help other people identify you as a leader, as someone they will take advice from, as someone who needs to be promoted, as someone who needs to be believed, and as someone who is responsible. If you want to be in that role, learn how to communicate. Learn how to speak in public. Because, of course, there are a lot of things wrong in the world. A lot of things need to be changed. And it begins when people find their voice, and they raise their voices, and they ask for change. You know that you have good ideas, things the world needs to think about. And in order to get them to think about it, you need to be able to tell that effectively and to give that message. Well, that's it. Part number 14, delivery, public speaking skills. I hope you enjoyed it. Keep on talking, keep on speaking, keep on debating, and whatever you do, don't give up.